The opinions expressed in Reality Rangers are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Spoiler alert for episode 5 of Traders Canada season 3.
Thank you for listening.
Hello, listeners. It's Malik Fortier.
And Andrew Hill.
And this is the Spirit Live finale of Reality Rangers. Yes, it's episode 6 already. It feels like this season flew by quicker than Outwit, Outplay, Outyap.
This one was a lot more like fast-paced. I feel like I just started episode 1 of The Traders, and I feel like we just recorded episode 1 of the podcast.
Literally.
Like, yesterday.
It's just grown up so fast.
It's our little boy.
Yeah.
But now we're at the finale for Spirit Live. Of course, we'll still be continuing the season. We can't leave you on a cliffhanger.
No, we wouldn't do that again to you guys.
So we'll be on our YouTube channel. You can check us out, see our previous videos that have a few visuals here and there. But, you know, there's no need to dilly-dally. I think we just go straight into the episode.
Yeah, so we get a little quick flash of what we were left off on last week's episode with, you know, Thompson being the last faithful left. Is he going to get recruited? Is he going to get murdered? But we quickly leave that and we go to the breakfast. So we have a first little group of people and they're kind of contemplating, was last night's roundtable with Kevin and Coco a traitor on traitor?
Yes.
And to me, it seems like obviously it was.
Even if I was a faithful in the game, I feel like it'd be a no-brainer. Like, everything Kevin said makes it feel obvious that Coco would be a traitor, like, traitor on traitor. And so I'm kind of surprised that, like, people are pushing against it. But you can see Venus is, like, kind of maneuvering around them. Like, not pushing down any of their thoughts to, like, raise suspicion on her.
She's bringing out the pros and cons table.
Right.
You know, she's not trying to rush into going for Coco, but she's not trying to defend her too hard either.
Especially with Jade there, you can't be, like, immediately going off and saying, like, no, it can't be Coco.
You cannot dictate how Jade plays the game.
Exactly. Jade is Jade. No one's there like Jade. But you see her, like, she's trying to, like, kind of push people in the other direction just to keep them off of Coco's tail.
She's a rare loyal traitor.
Yes.
That doesn't happen often, but she's loyal, but not loyal to a fault, as we'll see. Omer specifically is the one faithful who really wants to go for Coco. This could be, you know, a little bit of revenge for Kevin, but it also has to do with, you know, Kevin being a traitor and going for somebody and leaving, you know, what people call a parting gift.
Yeah.
Writing down Coco's name at the round table he goes. Usually, or a lot of times, that means that that person is a traitor.
Yeah, exactly. Omar is very intuitive and very smart this episode because every accusation or every, like, theory that he has is true. Not all of them are, like, confirmed, but he has, like, he just has a good head on his shoulders where he kind of has already figured out everything that's going on and has to try and convince everyone else of it.
Right. For example, one of those theories is something I've been saying a lot. It's that, you know, there's been a lot of men going home and thus we need to maybe look at the women. And that's why I think that if the traitors were to recruit anyone, it should be another woman.
Yes. And I think that kind of makes it, like, you're seeing this play out and Omar is correct. Like, all of his assumptions are correct from, like, a producer standpoint, from a player standpoint. Like, there are, usually they try and make groups of people to have a diverse cast of, like, traders. But, you know, you just kind of pray that Omar can get his point across properly so it doesn't, like, come across, like, prejudice.
Yeah,
or, like,
not Andrew Tatey,
yeah, exactly.
You know?
Like,
the women are out for us!
And he does that later on. Like, he's correct in saying that they should think about the women, but not in a, it's gonna be a woman trader. It's more so that there's mostly women left, and we've already gotten out a male trader.
It's like a statistics
yeah.
thing, always, just from, like, a math point of view.
I also want to bring up briefly, we see a lot of it this episode, as we do every episode, but Lisette, always, like, it's always brought back to Shala with Lisette, and we've talked about this, like, there's four sides to a story, and I think there's probably stuff we didn't see on camera. But it gets to a point where she just, like, you are accusing Shala over and over again with no evidence because of one thing that happened at the beginning of the season. And everyone else is focused on actual, like, potential threats. And she brings it back to Shala every time. She's like, oh, if they killed blah, 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 then obviously it's Shala trying to frame me.
Right. I think that's part of what I would be irritated with if I was in the manor. It's the, like, kind of self-centeredness of it. I do get putting an eye on Shala, though, because on episode, I think it was 3, they were the second most votes at the round table.
Absolutely.
Right, so I guess there is some reason to be sus there, but it's like, let's explore other avenues. Like, let's not be so myopic.
It's really good to have that suspicion because she is kind of suspicious as a faithful. However, that's not the target. And if you are actively hindering the house by going after someone who no one else is currently going after, even if they're a traitor, like, that's not helping anyone.
If they're not going to get the votes, and we'll see that with another person this episode, if they're not going to get the votes, that's a wasted vote.
Exactly.
So, continuing on with the breakfast, we see some discussions. People think there's going to be recruitment. Rhea and Jericho say, no, I think it's going to be a murder. They were on the money.
Yes.
Thompson was murdered by Coco and Venus, which I think, like I said last week, is the right move.
It's the correct move. Like, it doesn't make sense to recruit Thompson because he does nothing for them. And I think he would actively kind of hinder them because he doesn't want to work. Like, he was against Venus, apparently. I don't think he would work well with Coco. Like, and we were saying it doesn't make sense to get a, like, use another male who kind of fits the mold that Kevin did. Get him out as traitor fodder, because then, like, these people are going to really target on your kind of demographic.
Unless the only way to do it would be to go full tilt the other way and just, like, keep killing men and keep trying to banish men. Then it would be only women left, and then you've just got to, you know, cannibalize each other. But, you know, I don't think that's realistic.
People are very shocked, though, that they didn't recruit. Like, Sarah Nicole specifically is, like, kind of scolding the traitors. She's saying, like, how stupid can you be for not recruiting them?
And then she said something so shady. She was like, I think the traitors could just pick somebody like, let's say, Natalie, who's horrible under pressure and would just crack and they could just get rid of her, which was so shady.
And Natalie, the entire time, she just is, like, nodding her head. She's like, yeah, yeah, you should have recruited me so that I could have died. Like, she's agreeing with Sarah Nicole, and it's so funny.
It was a funny scene, admittedly. And then, yeah, you know, people who are shocked by this are Rhea and Jericho. Both of them were close to Thompson, so they kind of felt like they lost an ally there. Mm-hmm. And we see one last confessional from Coco, and she's kind of saying, yeah, Omer is on to me, but he's got to prove it.
Yes. And I think the really acute thing with that is, like, when they were having their conversation, they were both playing it very well. Like, on Omar's side, playing a faithful was doing very well. On Coco's side, playing a traitor was doing very well. But the thing that Coco said that made me, like, oh, yeah, that's so correct, is she said that Omar is smart, but she's good at convincing people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have to, if you are correct, if you know everything, you have to be able to convince people that they should be on your side to get out them. Whereas Coco doesn't need to know everything if she can convince people to be in her circle.
And let me just use a Trumpism. Many such cases. When it comes to the traitors, many such cases. You look at season 2 of the U.S. Dan is this old mastermind, best player of the game. Phaedra killed him at the round table.
Yeah.
Killed him because she was really convincing. Season 2 of Australia, there was that, like, you know, you had Annabelle and Luke who were really good at the game, and they were really onto the traitors like Sam and Blake. But Sam is a psychopath, manipulative. Like, he ended them at the round table, and he, like, shut them up.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about your performance at the round table. You've got to be a performative male.
I also think another thing at this round table, or at this breakfast, that I found interesting was that Jamal was pretty prominent, and he was incorrect. He was throwing suspicion on Omar, but as the episode went on prior to the challenge, like, you could tell everyone else was kind of, like, in a weird situation, because we'll mention this briefly after. They started, like, turning heads towards Rhea, and yeah. Jamal the entire time is, like, even though he's thinking it's Omar, you can tell he's very much, like, thinking much more intuitively and has much more of a head on his shoulders, because Omar could be. Rhea is such a weird case.
Yeah, there's some people, I think it was mostly Kara driving this.
Jericho was also there. Like, he kind of snapped out of it after a bit, but Jericho was like, yeah, yeah, I think it has to be Rhea.
Was he?
I think, because it was, It was Jamal, Jericho, and Kara in a conversation. They were talking about how it's Rhea, and Jamal was like, why would it be Rhea?
Yeah. No, because for Jericho, that would be a hard predicament because, you know, he's so close with Rhea. But Kara definitely was pushing Rhea a lot this episode with the whole, like, continuing the whole actor allegations.
Sure.
Like, it's kind of baseless. I don't know. I mean, it has a base. We saw last episode she talked about her, you know, school play, but that's not really much to go off of. But
yeah.
But I digress. So before the mission, we just see some car rides. We see Lizette and Coco manifesting some shields. Lizette was kind of prepping Coco for the round table, saying, you got to defend yourself. And Dom thinks that Kevin used Shaughnessy as a decoy, which he did. Good
yeah.
read on Dom. I did not expect that from Dom.
Dom actually had a pretty good episode. Like, there were some Dodo moments.
Yeah.
But overall, he honestly had, like, a lot to shine. And, like, even if he wasn't correct at every moment, it felt like he was thinking in, like, the right avenue.
He seemed sensible this episode. And then Venus said, well, if Coco goes up and reveals herself to a traitor, should we just ignore Shaughnessy being called out by Kevin? Which is an interesting predicament. Like, if Kevin called out, like, Coco as being a traitor, and she was, does that also mean that Shaughnessy is one? That's good play on Venus
yeah,
by trying
was,
to, like,
that was very smart from
push
Venus
somebody in the future, like, thinking three steps ahead.
For sure.
Okay, so during the mission, it's one we saw in U.S. Season 3, the one where Danielle Reyes, like, did not give herself a shield.
Yeah, they're given a riddle, and they have to decide, like, which of the urns that have a word on them
correspond to the answer.
Yeah, so if you're correct, it'll be gold dust, and you'll get money. And if you're also correct, you get the opportunity to give someone else a shield. You can't give it to yourself, which
I like
think
that.
Was because of Danielle's whole thing, taking herself down to give it to Brittany.
Yeah, which is like, oh, big brain move. Not really.
No, bad brain.
Bad brain move. Even though I love Danielle that season,
yeah.
It was really bad. And so this mission goes pretty smoothly. A couple people get answers wrong, but the people who end up with shields, I think, are good for the show because, like, they're all fun presences for the most part, like Sarah Nicole, Hollywood, and Shaughnessy.
Yes.
Especially Sarah Nicole. I think somebody said, like, this shield will let her be more bold at the round table.
Yeah, they're very exciting. And Shaughnessy, I think, is the weakest of the three. But Shaughnessy also has such a, like, anticipation leading up to what's going to happen to Shaughnessy.
Especially after, if Coco goes.
Yes. So, like, we could see a huge thing with Shaughnessy. I think it's good to get her more, like, amped up. But especially Sarah Nicole, and also, like, Jade has always been very
right. Jade's consistently a good, like, round table presence, but I think Sarah Nicole has been growing on me.
Yeah, she's been growing on me. It was really funny at the beginning of the episode, but, like, people keep talking about how she's such a big threat and has the numbers, and we haven't really seen it up until now because she's just been playing too safe, so they didn't really have much to show on screen.
But yeah, now, like, especially, like, we'll see at the round table, she's, you know, taking that shield protection, really utilizing it, and I respect that. So they bank $6,000, I believe. They got six answers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, other than that, some shield drama. Jericho put Rhea up, and then Rhea failed to get the answer right, and so she couldn't return the favor to Jericho. And then Kara took down Rhea's shield because she's like, well, you're a traitor. You don't need a shield.
Yeah. And then there was that whole brief thing about how Dom thought that Venus was going to put him up, but
because he was trying to riz her.
Right. He was trying to riz her. Very bizarre. I was not expecting. Well,
that's my OTP.
What?
That's my new reality
TV
power couple.
I don't mind it. Dom is kind of like, I don't know.
That's the new perfect match.
Yeah. But, like, Venus mentioned, or no, Jade mentions how Venus put Jade up because of the challenge in a previous episode where Jade gave Venus immunity. So it's like, there is reasonable trade-off, but, you know, we get that little Dodo edit from Dom being like, I thought she was going to put my name up.
He was putting that work in. But no, I think that was a good play on Venus's part because that
Absolutely.
Gets Hollywood Jade a little bit more on her side. Like, I almost perceive...
Like a guard dog.
Yeah, I almost perceive Hollywood as, like, a good Trana. Like, Trana was, like, Netta's, like, right-hand woman, and she was very vocal at the round tables. She was wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was a good person to have in your corner because she directed conversations. Hollywood is exactly that. And if Venus can, like, get Hollywood on her side, I think that could be really good for her game.
Hollywood is definitely one of the smartest people that we have seen in this game. So I think it's good to have that kind of person. And also, it's good to have a person who's smart and also aggressive against someone that's not you.
Exactly. So after the round table, but before the vote, we see a lot of scrambling.
Yes.
Omer Toxicoco says, you know, I'm leaning towards you, but I'm not, you know, closing my doors to other avenues. They kind of have a little conversation before the round table, keeping it, you know, civil, being, you know, good sports, you know, talking to each other before they go to battle. And even Shaughnessy starts to think that it could be traitor on traitor and that she's, you know, drawing some eyes at Coco, which I didn't expect. I thought her and Coco were kind of like, you know, suffering together. So they had that kind of trauma bond from both being victims of Kevin's tirade. But we're not sure. Is Coco going? Is Omer going? There's like a kind of growing campaign against Omer from people like Jamal and Rhea. Yeah.
On the previous episodes, I feel like I could have kind of like figured out who was going by the time the roundtable started. This time, I genuinely had no clue. I was so lost on whether it would be Coco or Omer.
Especially going into this episode. Like, I know the whole thing was like Omer versus Coco. If you told me like that he was going to be a serious option going into the round table like this week, like at the top of the episode, I'd be, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah,
you're crazy.
No, he was in like such a good position. So I'm really surprised that like people were so against him, just given like, because they assumed that because there wasn't a recruitment today, there's been no recruitments because they don't know about the whole like graveyard thing.
Yeah.
I am kind of shocked that like, if they don't think there's a recruitment, why would they put Omer and Kevin as traitors together if they're already so close?
That just makes no sense. Like, the gamer theory gets brought up a lot, but I'm like, they're saying, oh, there's got to be one Big Brother player and one survivor. What is this math we're coming up with? Why would there be one of both? And that's what's guiding people to Omer. Well, if it's not Venus, it's got to be Omer.
Like, and it's so bizarre, especially because the first, like, it was Coco and Kevin that were chosen. They were both Big Brother players, and then they actively chose a Survivor player.
So there's no, like, algorithm to this. The code they're trying to crack is not a code at all. It's just, like, chaos code.
Yeah.
So at the round table, Karine looks splendid in her chartreuse dress. And in the extended episode, I love Kara starting off the round table. We didn't get that in the live episode.
Oh, we didn't?
But she says, like, oh, my husband's a lawyer, and so I was a receptionist, and I asked a lot of discovery questions. And so she knows, she starts to grill Omer a little bit. Not in like a, going to vote you way, but just in like a, I'm asking questions way, which I always love people asking questions.
I think it's a really good way to start off the round table without putting, like, any hot, like, heat on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to get the conversation going on the person who you think is the target, so that you can fade back into the background at the end while still saying, yeah, I contributed. I was the one who started.
Exactly. Like, no quiet allegations. So there's just a big exchange back and forth between Coco and Omer. You know, Coco saying, well, Omer, you were the one who brought up the gamer theory. And, you know, I've been transparent about my Big Brother history when I've been on a show that probably not a lot of you have watched. I could have lied about being on Big Brother.
Right.
But Omer, you did not tell everyone that you were friends with Kevin.
And we got to go back once again to the beginning of the episode. Coco is just really good at communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are like snapping their fingers. They're like, yeah,
yep,
Coco, you are so correct.
And she's calm and collected and precise. And she's just really a beast at the round table.
I think the thing that really stuck out to me was she was calm and collected, but she still like, she was still able to be aggressive. Like, you can tell she's really going in while still staying really calm and not seeming flustered. And I think Omer doesn't have that aggression. He never gets like flustered or anything, but he doesn't have the aggression or like the like drive that people want to like cling on to.
Yeah, yeah. And we have some people, some of the other faithfuls piping in. You know, Jamal says, oh, maybe Coco versus Omer is the real traitor on traitor.
That was, I don't
know.
If Omer was a traitor, there's no way Coco's a traitor. And if Coco's a traitor, there's no way Omer's
it
a traitor.
Just makes
it doesn't
no
make
sense. Why would you have two traitor on traitors within a, like, two roundtable period? It makes no sense.
Jamal was doing so good up until that point.
I know. I had him as one of my favorite faithfuls, and now he's taking a drop down the power rankings.
Yeah.
Same thing with Rhea. Rhea has this weird boomerang theory.
Yeah.
And she, like, before the roundtable, she talks with Jericho, hey, we're going to drink our water at the same time, and that means we're going to vote for Omer, but if we don't, we're going to vote for Coco. And then she ends up voting for Dom.
They didn't show that until after the roundtable, so, like, it wasn't anything that we would have known ahead of time. But, like, they show the flashback later that both of them drank the water at the same time. So, like, yeah, we're voting Omar.
Or, and then they don't. Yeah,
and then they don't. So what's the point?
And then you have other moments like, you know, Alizette again going for Shala, and like people start to get visibly irritated. Dom does like almost a fent fold like of irritation because yeah. It's just like, I get wanting to look a little bit at everyone, but as Omar and Coco put it, like their lives are on the line and it's really not productive to just like go after the same people that you've been going for to no avail. Like, you know, no one's voting for Shala.
Yeah. But back onto the main meat and potatoes of this, I think Omar does a good job at, like, when he's accused of him and Kevin being so close, I think he does a good job communicating why they're so close, why he's such good friends with them, with, like, the whole October 7th, like, mm-hmm. with him being a Muslim man and Kevin being a Jewish man. Like, they're such close friends despite losing so many friends during that moment, and they're like, they're close because of that, but it doesn't mean that they're still at the end of the day gamers and they want to play the game. So like, unfortunately, there's not like much else you can say because it is a very like tricky situation, but I think he does a good job at like navigating through it and saying, I don't want to be considered a traitor because I'm close with him. I want you to think I'm a traitor only because I've done things that, like, you can put suspicion on, like Coco has.
Exactly. And when Venus reveals her vote, this is one of the most interesting votes of the whole night. Originally, she wrote Omar and scratched it off.
Yeah.
And then she actually voted for Coco. And in her vote reveal, she, you know, empathizes with Omar and, you know, his situation. And, you know, it's kind of awkward, you know, with Venus voting for Coco, the fact that Coco doesn't go home here. Omar gets yes. voted off at the round table.
It is, I think at the very least, Venus had reason to, and I think it was a very emotional moment. Like, it was very emotionally charged. And Coco, at the end of the episode, does understand. She has no ill will. And it's just a very tough situation because I know outside of the game, Omar and Venus are also friends.
Yeah, they're also like, close.
It's a really difficult decision, especially with all of the subtext behind it.
Yeah.
And I think both of them did a good job, but Coco is just very good at like communicating, as I've said multiple times this episode.
She needed a round table like that to survive, and she
exactly.
did what she had to do.
I think she's just scraping by, and I don't see her making it very far still, but I think this is a good moment for her.
Mm-hmm. This was a W episode for Coco.
Yes. One other thing with the roundtable before we move on. So Chala's vote for Omar was backed behind her statement after Lizette voted Chala. And, you know, Chala was saying how, Lizette, you need to kind of lock in. You're basically hindering the whole game if you're going to keep going after me. Even if I'm a traitor, I'm not the target. So you're making things harder for everyone else.
Yeah.
So grow a spine.
And
you know,
stop wasting your vote.
Exactly. And I said that early in the episode. I agree. Maybe a little bit, like, too much from Chala, but I think it was correct.
And so in the turret, Coco, you know, forgives Venus for that vote. I think she's understanding of the situation. And then basically they just have this conundrum. Do they recruit or do they murder? Coco is of the belief that they should murder. I kind of am leaning to agree with her. And Venus thinks, you know, maybe there's some merit to recruiting. I can see both sides.
If they were going to murder, they mentioned murdering Kara. And if they were going to recruit, they mentioned recruiting Rhea.
And with those two scenarios, I would pick murdering Kara.
I think so, too. I don't know where Coco goes from here, so I'm really conflicted what I would do from her perspective. But for Venus, it's very clear you need to kill Kara. I don't think she needs to target Coco whatsoever, but I think she needs to kind of let Coco go so that she can kind of keep moving. Use her as a shield.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe Coco will know that her time is limited and try to help Venus out a little bit, you know, kind of not leave a parting gift for Venus and leave, you know, an actual gift of, you know, falling on your sword kind of
thing.
Right,
of course.
I hope. But, Yeah, that was our final Spirit Live episode. Thank you so much for tuning in every week to listen to us ramble about reality TV. We will still be uploading videos on YouTube weekly to finish off the season and, you know, finish off Survivor 49. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed our show.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll continue listening to us, maybe either on our own socials or like later down the line when we do other Spirit Live content.
You might want to stay tuned for next season.
Hopefully. But yeah, we'll hopefully see you soon. Otherwise, I have been Andrew Hill.
And I've been Malik Fortier. And this has been
Reality Rangers.
Bye.
Bye.